Hello and welcome to Wild Time Online, only here on IndieMedia.de with myself, Thomas Janak. Well, as you all know, Wild Time is an animal welfare / world conservation show, and we're here at the annually happening festival of world cultures. So we're on the lookout for healthier living options, you know, like all these electric cars and food and ideas, you know, to help the environment, because that's the interesting thing about different cultures. When they all come together, they all network and they all brainstorm, and so there's quite a lot of stuff going on. I have been recording this recording footage here at the festival for years now, and it's always good crack. So I'm glad you can join me. So if you could just state your name for our listeners, and they will just talk about raw food and what it actually is, because a lot of people say, I haven't got a notion what to do with that.
My name is Veronica O'Reilly. I'm the chef of Healthy Habits Cafe, Ireland's first raw cafe in Ireland.
And you were in Wicklow Town?
We're in Wicklow Town.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Actually, the name of the street is called Quarantine Street, which is amazing,
because
we have a healthy cafe there. I do meat-free burgers. They're all made out of nuts. I do pizzas. I do lasagnas. I do all the stuff that you would normally think you have to have meat, and it's all raw, and it's all delicious.
Yeah. So let's just explain the raw food, because I'm an animal psychologist and a holistic animal healer. So I use raw foods a lot for working with animals on detoxification, because it helps clear the mind as well. So I work a lot on trauma cases. So you just tell me a bit about, you know, what sort of raw, what includes raw food?
The healthiest raw foods are like green juices, sprouts, pea green sprouts, mung beans. A raw diet is mainly made up of them with, well, all the other stuff I mentioned. Raw food means that it hasn't been cooked over 115 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
I still have warm soups.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lovely hearty carrot soup. And Paul does an Asian bean soup, which is
okay.
Very spicy. Too spicy for me now, but
good.
He loves spice.
There's always one.
There's always, yeah.
I can't cook any of that stuff. You know, if it's too spicy, I just can't eat
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, you know? I can't take it either.
Yeah. So what made you decide to do this?
Well, I'm a member of a Catholic community called the Servants of Love. And over the years, some of our members got sick. So we start looking at alternatives. Well, first of all, the doctor put one of our guys on a diet. He had angina. So I was the cook. I've always been the cook, so I gave everybody the same, because it was too awkward for me. And then gradually we discovered that if you eat different types of food, it would be easier on the system.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you need your colon really clean, and a lot of foods bung it up, and that's the first stage of sickness, is a blocked colon.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what type of sickness you have, if you clear your colon, you'll have a fighting chance. So raw food helps that a lot. And obviously in your work, you'd know that more
yeah.
than me.
Well, it's just interesting, because in the course of my work, you know, I became a vegan. Simply because, you know, when you heal animals, you know, you can't go around and then consume them.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much sense, you know. We all have our reasons. Tell me a bit about your organization then. Say it again, it's a Catholic group?
Yeah, it's a Catholic monastic group. It's made up of men and women. It's about nearly 40 years going. A lot of us were in the Legion of Mary,
mm-hmm.
so we're very Marian
yeah.
in our outlook.
It's called Servants of Love.
The Servants of Love. We have a website. It's called www.theservantsoflove.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you get, I'm doing radio for the last 6 years, and we did loads of shows also on religion and stuff, and a lot of the time, you know, especially in my work, because I do believe that animals have a soul, you know, and so I had a little bit of trouble with some of my religious interviewees saying, look, you know, they don't have a soul. What's your take on that?
I would be of the opinion that they don't.
They don't. And why is that? Why would you sort of say, you know, that the dog that loves me so much and I love so much has no soul? If it's a child of God, is it not?
you have to look on that a bit more clearer. A soul is means that it's part of God. An animal's heaven is here, really. That's why we should treat animals with great respect and love them.
Yeah.
And we should give them the best we can. And we should be appreciate them and treat them the way they're meant to be treated. That's best for them.
Mm.
It bothers me sometimes when I see dogs that are too big, too fat.
Mm. Yeah,
that's not good for the dog. Yeah. So our love for the animals has to get better.
Mm.
I'd like if we loved our animals better.
Yeah. But that's interesting. I mean, that's part of my work, apparently, yeah. You know. And I sometimes wonder if you know, if they have no soul. You know, I have a lot of people that say, you know, why bother?
Oh, that's nothing to do with what the animals have or haven't got. You treat the animals because you have a soul.
Yeah, okay.
And because you know that this is a creature of God, and you would have respect for it, mm. and respect its life force, and look after it the best way that's good for the animal.
Yeah. The thing...
Yeah.
So sorry. The thing is, like, you know, when I talk a lot to animal lovers, and some of them are quite, you know, in touch with God,
yeah.
And for them it's actually quite heartbreaking to think that the animals that they, you know, shared time and space with are not allowed in heaven. Is that not, you know, it's awful. I just can, you know, sort of can imagine how difficult the concept is for people to say they could, you know. You know, if, I just try to get that. You know, what do you say to someone, you know, that I don't know, look for salvation or look for God and is an animal lover and then basically gets told, look, you know, they have no souls or they can't get up there. You understand the problem that.
Well, most people would. Like St. Francis of Assisi really loved animals.
Mm.
I would work on the idea of trying to get yourself there.
Okay, okay, well, yeah. Well,
okay.
Okay.
And
well, that's
your love. Yeah. We see you always take your love with you. You never love is never wasted, and love is precious. So if you love an animal, you're lucky. Mm. I wouldn't negate that at all.
Mm.
And I wouldn't, it's like, why bother loving a person, they're going to die, that's sort of, you know.
I just think like, you know, for a lot of people that I've met, a lot of in my work, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I so much believe that they have a soul. It's really like, you know, that I can understand when people say, look, you know, these animals give me so much, and they're not going to wait for me on the other side. You know, so I can understand that this is painful.
Yeah, it's painful for them, but... it's not so much that the animal's given us something, it's what we give the animals. It's which we have to look on, do we want to be loved or do we want to love?
Mm.
And I think the secret of loving isn't actually loving. The secret of love is actually doing the love.
Okay.
If you've developed in love because you loved your animal, that'll stand to everybody and the world and everything.
So I'm getting it in. Thank you so much. Thanks, brilliant, thanks. So anyway, we're here in Dunleary at the Festival of World Cultures, and this is now the 9th year, I think, that this festival is on. And actually, I don't know, but really, I haven't seen it last year or the year before, but it's the first time that I see a big thing called Health and Harmony. So it's the first time that they have a Health and Harmony, it's a fair. Health, you know, and looking after your body and you know, therefore being fitter to fight for animal rights and everything. It's not a bad idea. So we will be walking around, and if anyone sort of takes my fancy, I'm going to talk to them. And you are listening to Wild Time, only here on IndieMedia.ie with myself, Thomas Janak. Hello, how are you guys?
Are you doing very well?
Good.
So you have a microphone?
Yes, I do have a radio show called Wild Time.
Wild?
And it's an animal welfare / world conservation show, which also means that we're looking at, I'm a master shaman and holistic animal healer, so we're looking at healthy options.
Oh,
as well, and I see you do amatsu.
We do a Japanese very good, called Amatsu. It's yeah. Muscles and joints. It's
okay.
And it comes all the way from Japan. Oh, my goodness.
You speak any Japanese then?
No, except domo arigato. And
it means thank you very much. I'm going to Japan next year. Work for 4 weeks in an animal refuge, so I have to learn it. Because in Osaka, I actually wrote a song called Osaka ni ikimasu, which means I'm going to Osaka. So I'm learning it at the moment, you know. And it's also interesting, you know, when you look at all the people, like I do Reiki and Unicorn Energy Healing, it makes such a difference if you understand where it comes from and understand the way, you know, when you do your calling in. I don't know if you do a calling in before you do your healing, but when you do a calling in and you sort of say it in Japanese because of the language structure, I actually feel there's more spirit there. You know, it could probably be me, but what I'm saying is, you know, it's just, you know, just very interesting, you know. I mean, I didn't get it before I started learning it, you know, but apparently there is this connection, you know. There's a reason why it is from a different place, like, you know.
There's a reason why you were drawn to it specifically.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So what made you do this?
Well, I got sick myself years ago, about 15 years ago. I had symptoms of vertigo. See you? Listen, feel free to take leaflets or anything. Brilliant. See you later. Brilliant. About 15 years ago, I wasn't well myself. I had symptoms of vertigo. And I went to Sean Boylan, a healer in North Dublin, or West Dublin, really. And he recommended I go to Billy Doolin, who's just in the Chinese Medical Centre here in Dunleary. And he brought Amatsu to Ireland, and he taught me Amatsu. And he's been a teacher of Amatsu for many years. And we were very lucky. I found the treatment extremely effective. I was so inspired by how gentle it was and how effective it was. So I decided to train in it.
And how long did it take you to sort of become, you know, sufficient in it?
2 years very intense work, and then it's been a lifetime. It's every year. You're doing your continuing practitioner training. And you're developing yourself the whole time. So it doesn't stop after the 2 years. In fact, it only starts after the 2 years.
Okay. So you did enjoy it then?
I did enjoy it. Oh, it just opens up your whole life. It's just so good. It's so.
If people want to contact you and say, like, you know, when they listen to this and they say, like, well, we sort of try to establish what it is, but where is it?
Okay.
How can they get
it's
in touch with you guys?
Dublin, but the easiest way is to log on to the Amatsu website, which is www.amatsu, A-M for Mary, ATSU-Ireland.com. And then everything, there's a list of practitioners, there's a whole load of information on Amatsu, and just you can work your way around that site. It's a very good site, and it tells you all about Amatsu. What Amatsu really is very good at is treating muscles and joints and any pain in the body. It's very good at letting go pain. People with arthritis, people with whiplash, people with nerve pain like sciatica, even tennis elbow, shoulder restrictions. So it's a very gentle and relaxing treatment, and it treats the whole body. It never just isolates a symptom in one area.
Because I do healing myself, so apparently it also works on detoxification,
which
is the sluggishness that gets you off, isn't it?
It helps the lymph system very much so, yes, because the lymph system helps our body cleanse itself, basically. Yeah. And when we're releasing tension in the muscles, that can help the flow of lymph, because there's no longer tightness and restriction in the body, so everything flows better. Even energy flows better, everything flows, and particularly lymph flows better, and blood circulation. So yes, it's much very good for detox.
You gotta love the Japanese, isn't it? Just having these ideas about life, really, like, you know.
Yeah.
I just love it, like, you know. I mean, you know, when I speak to my friends, you know, they all think I'm absolutely bonkers going to Japan. Even though I work in an animal shelter here.
Yeah.
You know, but people say, like, Jesus, you're going to Japan, like, you know.
Lovely.
You know. So at some stage you probably have to go over and see.
Oh,
see
yes,
for yourself,
absolutely.
You know?
My husband has actually been over and trained in the martial art.
Ah, nice.
Because Amatsu is actually from the martial art. It's the healing side of martial art. And the martial art is dating back 5,000 years. It's a really ancient system. And yes,
that's probably why it works so much. I think the only thing that I always say to people, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people give you an awful lot of slack, saying, Jesus, there she is again with her natural Japanese stuff, you know, because we were so used to our Western medicine, when in fact, you know, all that stuff is so old and so much proven. It's always surprising to me when you look at Asia, even though they are clearly Muppets there as well, you know, they have their issues, you know, but a lot of people are much healthier.
They are.
And they don't take pills.
Yeah, they are. It's a lifestyle. We do look at lifestyle. It's a huge thing, really. And yes, it's been throughout the tradition, you know. It's been there for so many years. And we're now, thank goodness, we're opening up to that again. Yeah. And we're becoming aware of that again. Actually, I haven't had any trouble. People do seem to just like the feel of it and they feel better. And it's like the proof is in the results and how you feel. Like after a session, do you feel better? Yes, I feel better. I feel stress relief. My muscles are relaxed. I feel better posture. I no longer have the pain I've been carrying around for years. And when the results really prove themselves. So I've never really had to justify a matter, thank God. Yeah. People just love it.
Good. Yeah. So if somebody says, look, you know, I have no time for the website, but I'm genuinely interested, they all, you know, recession time, they all want to know how much is it. I mean, I know it's free here, but when the people say, look, you know, I might just spend the money on that, you know.
60 euros for a treatment, and the treatments, my treatments take about an hour and a quarter, and it's really, really good treatment. Of course, if people are in difficulty, there are, we discuss with the client and try to facilitate the client. But the official fee is 60 euros, but we do.
Which I think is not, which is not bad, you know.
Yeah.
Someone comes to me, I charge the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's going
to accommodate people, though, because especially if people need long-term treatment and they've had a lot of history of pain, you know, we're not unreasonable. We do try to facilitate people and try to help people, because that's the main thing is, you know, we want to help.
Could you just, because, you know, it's not television, could you just state your name for the radio?
My name is Trish Kavner, spelled with a C, and you can get me on the practitioner page of the Amatsu website, www.amatsu-ATSU-Ireland.com. And I also have my own website, which is www.trishkavnagh.com.
Well, it's raining outside, so we just went inside, which we would have done anyway, because there's a thing every year here called Cool Earth, where you have loads of companies that sort of deal with, you know, world conservation and stuff. So we'll just have a look who is around and see if we can talk to someone here about their work and what they do. Oh, by the way, you're listening to Wild Time Online, only here on indymedia.ie. I wanted to talk to, because I'm a vegan and I have a radio show called Wild Time, which is a world conservation show / animal welfare show. So and we know the impact that meat has apparently on the environment. So but a lot of people say, like, why on earth would I go vegetarian? And you always have to listen to me saying it. So I thought, you know, I just play them a tape next time. So and you're from the Vegetarian Society of Ireland. Okay, just for a lot of people still don't get it. So why vegetarianism?
Well, I suppose today we're asking people, if they don't want to go completely vegetarian, we're asking them to reduce their meat consumption. For two reasons, really, two very good reasons. One is it's better for your health, cuts your saturated fat intake. And two, it's good for the environment, because it's more efficient to grow crops and consume them directly instead of feeding to animals and then consuming the animals. So if people don't want to go directly to vegetarianism, they could still cut their meat consumption, and it's, you have a win-win situation.
Yeah, a lot of people still say, like, you know, it's you know, I hear that all the time, it's much cheaper to go to Tesco's and get the chicken than it is to get, let's say, raw food for the whole family. I mean, you know, this is what we listen to, isn't it?
Yes, it's true. And of course, you know, if when people understand the conditions that these animals are reared in, these small cages that the chickens are confined to, or how many of the thousands of them are on the floor of a shed, you know, it's. I think when people see the actual the hard facts situation, it does tend to put them off eating such budget priced food. And so, you know, if they say you are what you eat, and we think people should be eating good quality food if they want to feel healthy, if they want to feel good about how their food is produced.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is it sounds so easy, and it probably is, and still it isn't when you look at the amount that you know of families that still say, yeah. you know because I see there's a little child here eating a yogurt, like, you know, yeah. And a lot of people say, you know, children do need meat. You know.
Well, there's a lot of children out there in the world, millions of children. Go to India, you know, millions of children there are fed on vegetarian diets.
Exactly. They're all healthy.
It's,
yeah.
It's proof that, well, unfortunately, there's a lot of malnourished children in India too, but that's another matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you can, as long as you're aware, I think if you educate yourself about the nutrients, the minerals that are required in the diet, you know, you can source all of those from a vegetarian diet.
Yeah.
So it just calls for a bit of time and a bit of, you know, education to study up on this.
It's also nice, to be quite honest, to live sort of guilt-free, almost. I mean, you know, we all have our chocolate and stuff, our vegan cakes with too much calories, but the very fact that you're not supporting the machine anymore that causes all that, in itself is a win-win situation, isn't it?
I mean, definitely. I mean, you don't. It removes all those concerns about animal welfare. You know, the inefficiencies of meat production, the waste of, you know, incineration of animal waste and so on, animal diseases like, you know, bird flu, foot and mouth, tuberculosis, you know, the killing of badgers to eliminate tuberculosis from the cow population, you know, all those problems just go away, and then so you can concentrate then on the food that you eat, make sure you're healthy. And of course, you know, you can always go further. You can always, you know, start eating more organic food, locally produced food. So it's several stages that you can go through.
If people say, look, you know, I don't really know what the Vegetarian Society of Ireland is, you know, can I meet them somewhere? How does this work?
Well, we have regular meetings in Dublin.
Okay. Whereabouts?
Well, the best thing to do is to contact us. If you check out our website, you'll get an email address there. Vegetarian.ie is the website.
Okay.
And if you're interested in coming along to a meeting, we'll let you know when the next one is coming up. And we're always looking for volunteers, you know, people with special skills, maybe do some graphic design work, or helping out at a stall, or maybe writing an article for a magazine. Just getting the information out there to people. So we're always looking for more people who can help and get the good news out about, you know, cutting your meat consumption and living a healthier life.
Okay, thank you so much. Brilliant.
Thank you.
And I'm here at a stall called Absolutely Organic, and I'm talking to John. Just tell me a bit about what you do.
Well, we do a home delivery service of organic produce and food, groceries as well. So it's a really wide range of food, all of which is certified organic. And we can now deliver from Dundalk through a franchise lady, through Greater Dublin, out to Maynooth, Selbridge Lucan, and down to Bray. And people can access the website, which is www.absolutelyorganic.ie, and order online, check out the portions of product of the different boxes that we do, and the different groceries, and we'll deliver to you every week if you like.
And what's your personal favorite organic food?
Oh my goodness! Well, it's really one of perk of the job, because we just are so used to having fresh organic vegetables and fruit. Really, it's really broadened my range of produce. I'm not anything specific. I eat meat, and but I've certainly increased the intake of vegetables and fruit. And this is one way of doing it: get a weekly delivery, and that's what our customers like. It kind of obliges you to.
When people listen to this and say, look, you know, as always, like recession time, we need to know how much is it. You know, I mean, it depends on what you buy. But is there, what's the fee for delivering?
Prices include delivery. So it's incredible. It's incredibly good value because, first of all, you're getting first-class produce. And secondly, the entry level is €16 for the entry-level vegetable box that we do. The minimum order for a mix of anything you like is €20, and that includes delivery.
Well, I'm here at the moment at a stall called the Native Woodland Trust. It says Trees for Schools, and they are donating free native trees to schools nationwide and planting thousands of new trees and hedgerows, thereby giving school children a chance to plant a tree and providing educational resource for children. And they're obviously sponsored by the Irish Independent and by Wyeth. So let me just see if I can talk to someone. Hi there, can I talk to you for a second? I have a show called Wild Time. It's a world conservation show on radio.
I'm Spanish and she's French, so...
Well, I'm German. We just talked away, you know. Okay. So you can't get away by saying I don't speak English, because you do, you know. What made you do this?
Because we are, trying to aware the people that in Ireland we have to plant Irish trees instead of the conifers for timber productions, because they are destroying the environment.
And are you doing something like this at home?
In Spain? No. Only here.
Yeah, but because we need it, you know. Yeah. We really do, like, you know. So are you here on vacation or you live here?
I'm doing an internship for 3 months.
Oh, okay. So you're not here for the weather?
No.
Okay. And what made you get involved in this?
What
made you do this?
I'm just arrived, so I haven't...
Okay, so are you not part of this?
It's my first day.
Oh, it's your first day. Oh, that's good. First day and you're on the radio. Isn't that brilliant? Yeah. Tell me a bit about France, because, you know, a lot of people think it's a beautiful country. Well, we're from Germany, like, you know, it's a beautiful country too. But on the whole, we have less problems with our environment. You know, there's a bit more education in schools. How is it in France? Are people well aware of their trees and stuff?
I think there is no... for the student. Okay. I think the events are after the degree, mm-hmm. maybe.
Okay.
Above all.
Okay.
Yes, there is also a lot of problems in different places in France, okay. with environmental problem.
Okay. You could do me a big favor. You know, the show is called Wild Time. If you could say in French, you are listening to Wild Time, that would be brilliant.
You are listening to...
No, in French. In French.
Vous êtes en train d'écouter Wild Time.
Thanks. And in Spanish, please?
Estoy escuchando Wild Time.
Thanks. Sie hören Wild Time. It's good, you know, now I have it all in international languages. Thank you so much. Thanks. Hi there, may I talk to you for a second? I was speaking to some other people of yours, and I read that you have a website called nativewoodlandtrust.ie. Tell me a bit about what you're actually doing.
Okay, we're a registered Irish charity, and what we're doing is we're trying to create a network of woodlands throughout Ireland. We buy a site and then we plant native trees on the site.
Where is the site?
We have a current site in County Leitrim, and we're about to secure a second site. Hopefully we're looking at Galway, Connemara direction.
Is it difficult? You know, a lot of people think, like, you know, we're so used to not having native trees. You know, this kind of way, sure, it's going to be grand, this kind of way. You know, why is it so important that we have our own?
Well, at the moment, Ireland has the lowest amount of native trees in Europe. We've only 0.1% left, so we're trying to establish native woodlands again, improve our landscape. It's important for children growing up that they have them there.
And also, it probably would be important as well, is it's important for wildlife.
It would be, yeah. What we're trying to do as well is to restore them into their natural habitat. So you'll get wildlife coming back in. We also plant native seeds, so we get a lot of native flowers and stuff coming back into the woodland. And then over time, what was there originally will start to come back.
Okay. Is it difficult? I mean, I imagine it to be difficult because, you know, when you sort of secure a site, you know, you are limited when it comes to your choices. You know how it is these days, you know, we rather build a motorway, you know, for our busy, I don't know, whatever, like, so there's not necessarily the emphasis on nature that you would love to have there. What are your main difficulties when you try to secure a site these days?
Well, we find it very difficult to get government funding, so all of our funding has to be raised by ourselves. We get a lot of help through corporate companies. They do corporate promotions and stuff, which allows us to buy sites. But yeah, we need more government funding at the moment.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because everybody, I'm an animal healer, so I work a lot with shelters and stuff, and they all, you know, got their money cut and stuff. It's quite difficult because you sort of depend on people seeing that what you're doing is worthwhile, you know, in the beginning. So for all the people there, because this is not television, I'm talking to Linda Lawler. She's the manager of the Native Woodland Trust, just so you are aware of to whom I speak here. What made you do this?
It's voluntary, and I'd like to see, we were worried a time ago about the Irish landscape, nobody seems to be involved in it, so we set ourselves up. We all have an interest in the environment, wildlife, we rely heavily on our volunteers, and that's what keeps us going ultimately.
And how many people sort of are involved?
Well, at the moment we have volunteers all over the country, we have volunteers in every county. We're doing a lot with schools at the moment. We gave 30 trees to every primary school nationwide. That was with help of our sponsors from Wyatt. So far, that's over 6,500 trees we've planted. So that sort of stuff keeps us going.
It's the awareness, you know. Once the kids get it, I mean, they are the future. Whether or not they realize that yet, you know, but they really are. I mean, I'm sure you must have those, you know, insufferable critics that just think, you know, you're just one of these green guys and, you know, just get on everybody else's nerves, you know. What do you say to someone with an attitude like that?
Well, we're non-profit making, so anything we get in, it goes directly into planting trees. I think people need to be worried about our landscape at the moment, about how little we have left. So, yeah, we're just trying to improve what we have here.
You're doing a service basically to your country.
Yeah, well, I think so. We're trying to educate children from a young age so that when they get a bit older and they have jobs, that they'll try and think about our landscape and try and plant trees with us.
You are listening to Wild Time, and I guess you all remember correctly that the very first show that we had on Dressed Up in Excess Radio was with Birdwatch Ireland, with Niall Hedge to be specific. And you're everywhere. Everywhere there's something sort of publicly when it comes to, you know, environment and stuff. You did the Native Species Weekend and all that kind of stuff. And we spoke for an hour, so I know how involved you guys are, you know. And so a lot of people are interested in birds. But you know, doing the show, we sort of established how difficult it is for some people to even know what the birds are that they have, you know. Is there an easy way in?
Oh, there absolutely is an easy way in, and that's one of the main reasons that we're here at Cool Earth this weekend, is we want to spread the word about birds in people's gardens and show how people can, even in their own just patch of ground around their houses or apartments, encourage wildlife and make it a haven for birds. So we're here handing out free posters to help you identify all those garden birds, and we're also promoting the events that our branches hold, which are free of charge. People can go along and go on bird walks and learn about birds from the experts. So it actually is a fairly easy thing to get into when you know that we're out there, and we have 14,000 members nationwide, so there's a branch near you, and we can make sure that you know, people can learn about birds that way.
He's a real pro, isn't he? Just goes like, yeah, you know, it's really good. Thank you so much, friend. Because I wanted to talk to you as well. Because most of the time, you know, I like this guy, you know, but I know he's a real bro. He's used to speaking to the media. Well, you know, it comes with the job, I suppose, you know. But it's really interesting to sort of talk to the people that are a bit sort of, you know, not necessarily, but mostly behind the scenes. Like, you know, what's your involvement in it?
I'm just an ordinary member of the local branch here, Dublin South. I'm a relatively novice bird watcher, so I'm learning an awful lot, and I'm even being here today, I'm learning from listening to Niall. Yeah. And I think if you were... I was in my 60s when I took up bird watching.
You don't look a day older than 60 and a half, you know?
Thank you. It's never too late to start. Get a good book, join Birdwatch Ireland, and the Wings shop, Birdwatch Ireland shop, has a great selection of binoculars and any other equipment you might at very competitive prices. So don't put it off. Join today.
Good. What I also like about Birdwatch Ireland, when every time I speak to these guys, you know, a lot of people that I've met in sort of my kind of work that have birds are not very fond of cats because of the amount of things they do. And when I spoke to you guys, they, like, you know, just have them a collar and a bell so the bird has a fighting chance, rather than saying, like, you know, feck them all, we don't want them. You know, because it, you know, this compassion, this selective compassion that's going on. But do you have sort of a message for the people that have roaming cats?
Well, I have two cats, and they can only get out the back door, so they can't get to the front garden where the cats are, the birds are. Cats will always bring you in what they've caught. And very often they will bring you in a live bird, wrap it as a gift, wrap it in a towel, leave it rest for about an hour until it gets its breath back, and try and release it somewhere where the cats won't get it again.
That's exactly what I want on my show, you know? Going out there and say, look, you know, there's things we can do about it. Because a lot of times, you know, when you talk to people about birds, it's not inevitable, but a lot of people say, like, you know, we don't really like cats, you know, because they do a lot of damage, but since they're all here and we don't have any native cats there, any favorite cats, they were all belonging to someone at some stage, you know, they have to share the space just like we do, you know. What's the next event that's coming up?
We're going to be at Electric Picnic, actually. We're going to have a stand there. So if anyone who's at Electric Picnic would like to come along and talk to us there. And then we also have a talk coming up here in Dunleary. It's going to be on the 8th of September at 8 p.m. in the Kingston Hotel. And that's going to be all about Ireland's garden birds and beginning bird watching. So for anybody who's ever thought about wanting to learn more about the species that live in their own homes and gardens, come along. It's free of charge and we'd be delighted to help you out there.
Hi, I'm Jay Murphy. I'm with Oxfam Ireland.
You have a big banner here that says climate change destroys lives, let's face it. So can you explain that to the people that... I wouldn't say they're ignorant, you know, they're probably just watching the wrong channels.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the biggest thing that we're trying to get across is that, like, climate change is always seen as being a problem that's going to exist in the future. And it's like, oh, in 20 years' time, this climate change is going to hit us. The thing that we're really trying to push across is that that's not true. Climate change is already affecting people's lives. It might not affect your life directly, but there are people in the world who are already being affected by climate change. So that's where Oxfam kind of represents them people in Africa who are currently facing that crisis. So our big thing is now coming up to the climate change summit in Copenhagen in December is to get the Irish government to sign on to a deal that takes them people into account. Because if you think about, say, America or China will have hundreds of delegates at the talks, whereas Malawi might have two delegates. So it's very hard for them, obviously, to have an equal voice. And obviously, without the kind of economic background, they can't have that equal voice either. So Oxfam are trying to represent them at them talks and try and get Irish people now to think about them and to kind of pressure the government into thinking about them.
What's interesting to know, because I mean you were touching on this, is like, you know, one day it will be us.
Yeah, well, absolutely, one day it will be, some, you know, maybe not that far in the future either, you know.
Exactly. So it's not like, you know, back in the day, we, you know, when you talk to people, they would say like, it's got nothing to do with me, you know, it's not my problem anymore.
Yeah,
but we're not on our way out in 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So it will be our problem and you know, our children's problem. And,
exactly.
And there, you know, a lot of people still think, you know, let's just say, you know, typical guy, you know, doing 9 to 5 in Dublin, or wherever, and just think like, you know, what can I do? Because I don't want to take the public transport. I never had a driver's license, so public transport would be one thing to help that. Any ideas what else?
No, the thing is that, I mean, it's tiny differences, like, you know, I mean, tiny differences can really make a huge impact. And if you look at, like, say, eating slightly less meat, or you know, maybe
or a lot,
yeah, or maybe not taking, maybe not converting the public transport completely, but taking it more often. So I mean, there are, if you take lots of small steps that you don't really notice, that can, if everyone does that, it makes a huge impact. So I think that's what the man on the street needs to know, is that, like, you know, just tiny differences in your life can really have a big effect if everyone does it.
Actually, it's quite warm today. Quite fortunate, the weather is really good. I mean, it has been raining in between, you know, little intervals, but we're quite used to that. But it could have been way worse, you know. So now the sun is actually out, and so are we. So we continue exploring the Festival of World Cultures here in Dunleary, which takes place now on the 29th and 30th of August of 2009. Well, one thing you get plenty of here is food. So I have to look the other way, because I'm eating since I'm here. There's always something else. Oh yeah, now they have pizza and crepe, and they also have a lot of vegetarian and vegan options here, like samosas and stuff, you know, falafel of course. So loads of things really. Well, there are more toilets, public toilets now, than there were last year, but the one I went into is not one I want to go into again. Just shows you that some people, you know, just can't behave themselves. That's all we have time for. You are listening to Wild Time Online with myself, Thomas Janna, coming to you today from the Festival of World Cultures in Dundee, which took place on the 29th and 30th of August of 2009. I hope you enjoyed the program, and make sure you listen to us again. And remember, you can become a fan of Wild Time on Facebook. So you just type in www.facebook.com/wildtimeradio, because on this very site we will tell you where and when we are going to record the next footage for Wild Time Online. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.